Hello, everybody. This is Arik Skuza, and I'm your host. And today in the podcast, when I'm talking about artificial intelligence, data analytics, data management, and monetization, I will be discussing the importance of data quality in achieving a return of investment, especially for artificial intelligence projects. Today, the agenda I have designed is talking a little bit about the importance of the data quality, which is pretty straightforward. Then I will share 10 to 12, depends on how much time we need for that, of tasks or activities that can give you a improvement in your data quality. That will be important, I think, interesting part, because I will be actually talking about practical ways of how to improve your data quality. Then I will be talking a little bit about the sources of the good quality data. So your company, your business, yourself can consider them as a potential streams for getting good quality data in one place to make sure that you can either train, retrain, or pre-train your artificial intelligence models. And at the end of this podcast, I will discuss case study coming from retail slash agriculture of how quality data can improve the business. So basically, there will be why quality data, what to improve your quality data, where to get the quality data from, and how much it's important to get the results, which is the case study. So welcome to the show, and let's start. My name is Arik Skuza. I work as a consultant and data monetization, artificial intelligence advisor to a company. So most of the stories I tell here are coming either from my experience or from things I read or studied to prepare for my project. So I hope you'll find it very practical too, and you can actually implement those things in your project. So let's start by acknowledging the increasing adoption of artificial intelligence in various industries. For those of you that are not responsible for AI projects or things like that, I would love to mention a few statistics. Like, many business leaders recognize the value and return of investments that AI can provide. This is important things to mention, that AI came out from R&D area, and now AI is present in many projects as a critical component that needs to deliver the value. And the value can be direct, or like revenue increase, or indirect, like process improvement that then influence, for instance, a cost structure. So according to McKinsey, one of the best global consulting companies, leaders are allocating more or less 20% or more of their earnings to artificial intelligence investments, with projections of continued growth. That's pretty interesting factor, because if we think about earnings as a critical element of every business, 20% of that, which is one fifth, it's pretty a substantial amount. Talking about this, we need to make sure that this kind of numbers needs to be in play to make sure that AI is there. It's actually have a chance to deliver a positive ROI. But champions, which are companies who can get up to triple bottom line results, I will explain that in a minute, those needs to invest more or less 15%+ of the IT budget to AI. This is another statistics I have found working on my presentation for board of directors, showing them the potential that artificial intelligence can bring to business. And that actually, it's a very important line, saying that 50% of IT budget needs to be allocated to AI if you want to triple your bottom line. What's the bottom line in this case? It can be a profit and loss influence. It can be a margin redesign towards the better relationship between cost and revenue, things like that. But as we see from these numbers, AI brings this result, but it's also required investments. And those investments are not only financial investment, but we're talking here about talent acquisition, talent reskilling. We're talking about process redesign, redesign or process design, depends if the company is powered by processes or it doesn't use processes that much. So one crucial aspect of successful AI modeling and deployment is the availability of well-sourced training data. Without high-quality data, which is pretty straightforward, developing effective AI models is challenging. Recently, I am following on Twitter a lady whose name is Cassie Kuzurkov. Cassie is a chief decision scientist at Google, and I like one of her tweets that she recently pushed on her profile, and I would love to read it right now. So Casey tweeted one day ago, "You can't do data science if there is no data. If you get hired to be head of data science in an organization when there is no data, and no data engineering, guess who is going to be a data engineer? You." So I found it very interesting because we're talking about here that company needs to have a quality data. But what if company has no data or the data is not available at all? That's another issue. But I will be talking about, as I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, about 10 to 12 activities or tasks you can manage to make sure that you can improve your quality data, or if you don't have a data, I'll give you at least 6-7 ideas when you can get that data from. So Casey, thank you so much for the tweet, and it was very inspiring, and I will also leverage that tweet to inspire you guys to get this data sorted out. So the quality of an organization data directly impacts the quality of AI model. Obviously, there is an old saying, garbage in, garbage out, and it's pretty straightforward too. If your data is weak quality, or it's not structured properly, or is discontinued data, then the model will give you basically a weak result. Results you cannot focus on, results you cannot trust, which basically takes us to the point when your informed decision cannot be done based on this data. Improved data quality is a primary source of value for many IT-enabled business initiatives. And inspired by Gartner, I want to talk about several activities and points you guys and myself, my customers can take to improve that data quality. So first thing that Gartner is talking about, and I really find very, very true, is establishing a clear line of sight between the impact of data on KPIs and the impact of data quality improvements on business outcome. So what I essentially standing behind that, to find a definition, what is a good quality data for us? Because improving data quality has no ceiling, which means we can do it endlessly and will not be never done. But there is a certain point when the data quality is good enough, and that's on the second point I want to mention, then we are ready to go. And let me give you an example. One of the customers I've been talking to, they need to check the water is a side effect of the manufacturing process. So imagine there is a water coming out of the manufacturing and of the factory, and depends on the color and the substance of this water and what kind of chemicals are in this water, you can check if the manufacturing process was conducted properly. So it's basically a waste management and waste check. And the company is doing that through various sensors that are in the water containers to check the quality of that water. Suddenly they purchase drones. So the drones can fly over the tanks or can either go inside the tanks and fly inside the tanks, get the good quality images, and use that images for data analysis. So how good should be an image quality? What should be a good enough at the end of a resolution so we can still get a good data? And that's what the question. So how good is a single unit of the data, how good it should be to make sure that we have a good quality data in place and our prediction or analysis can be actually viable for business. So this is something very critical for us. And this is something very important to make sure that we actually can deliver good results. And this is actually going to be important factor to make sure that we understand what is a good enough data. Then establishing a data quality standard across the organization is a natural next step. As long as we define how big should be a data table, what kind of columns, rows, and other dimensions we need to have in that table, what format that data needs to be there, how often we should update the data in terms of structure and the quality and the quantity, how often we should parse the data through quality check. If that that needs to become a standard, and then that standard needs to be used across the organization. So another important thing is to establish data quality as a part of the agenda item for governance board meetings. That's very important because you want to protect the standard. So if you use that, you scale the company data effort, then it needs to become the agenda of your officers to make sure that it is constantly discussed. I would say that another point is using data profiling early and often. And that's something also mentioned by Gartner. We want to make sure that the data profiling happens early often, as the process of examining data from an existing sources and summarizing information about the data. Data profiling helps identify corrective actions to be taken and provides valuable insight that can be presented to the business to drive ideation on improvement plans. That is a quote I got from Gartner. Put in other words, we want to make sure that we profile data early and often to make sure that we constantly see an improvement. That kind of connected to good enough definition, but it's also kind of direct us to the future of the data and how we want to improve that in the future. Okay, next point that could be important from how to improve your existing data, and I'm talking about the scenario right now when you have data, but you can't improve this data. And we'll be talking in a minute, so if what to do if you don't have a data. In this case, designing and implementing data quality dashboards for critical data asset, it's very important too. And you can do that as a task that will take you to the situation when you can actually see your data. What I mean by that is, imagine the company I was talking about that purchased the drones to check the tanks, the water in the tanks. So that drone can take up to hundreds, if not thousands, of images over one flight. Depends on how big is a plant and the manufacturing process, how big is it. So then you have a whole bunch of files. But if you eliminate those images that are blurred, And then you eliminate the images that are not showing you anything important. And then you define that important image is the one that is showing the change in the chemicals in this water container. Then you can build dashboard out of it. And that dashboard will present the 10 critical images with the descriptions, timestamp, and other factors. Such a dashboarding will help you to make sure that you see how you want to improve that data in the future and how much, or maybe what kind of percentage of the material is actually erased because of the fact that it's useless. So based on that, you can actually predict how you want to fine-tune the data, and the dashboarding will get you there. So that's another thing that is important. So establishing data quality, responsibilities, and operating procedures as a part of the data steward role mentioned by Gartner, it's another element, pretty straightforward. If you want to make sure that this is always under control, you only need to make sure there is someone responsible for that data. That's pretty easy to understand. Another element I want to mention is establishing a data quality review as a release management, which means that every time we get that report, upgrade that dashboard, or bring this another element to life, we are making sure that there is a release management. So, for instance, talking about our manufacturing process and the water quality, let's say we build the first report that it's helping managers to make informed decision about restructuring the manufacturing process. That's the release gate. So it means that in this particular situation, we'll make a decision like that. But in the future, we might require even more information or more precise information. In our case, maybe higher resolution picture to even learn more. And that's a release management, which needs to be also under attention of the company. Communicate the benefits of better data quality regularly. That's very important. And it reminds me a quote of one of the person I met at the conference. And I completely forgot this gentleman's name, but he said something like that. Every time I'm sitting silent and not talking to anybody about how good quality data brought the company to better decisions, that time is wasted. And what I mean by that is every time you get results or more informed decision based on your quality data, it's worth it to communicate that to people so they can also learn, having a quality data, what kind of decisions we make in a better way or in a higher level because of that, the fact that our data quality was improved. And the last point is leveraging external industry peer groups. And this point I want to leave a little bit for now because that communicates to the fact what happens if you have no data. Where you can get that data from. So this is my another point. But before I move to this point, I want to mention that acquiring data with this characteristic can be also challenging from a legal and privacy point of view. Like in Europe, there's a GDPR, the protocol that protects data, and substantial number of data is actually useless because it's GDPR protected. So startups and small companies often have limited budget also and lack the necessary data. In many industries, it's extremely challenging to acquire the necessary and often specialized training data, also because of GDPR and other rules. Like in California, for instance, it's most of the same way. But I've heard talking to industry leaders and customers that Minnesota, Georgia are considering putting something like GDPR too. So we need to assume that getting the good quality data in the future will be a little bit more expensive. Various reports say various things, but it was found that 42% of technologies say the data sourcing stage of the AI cycle is very challenging. However, business leaders were less likely to report data sourcing as very challenging. So we see like different points, but what it's like depends on when you get the data. And now I want to move to the point of this podcast when I want to tell you a little bit about where you can get that data from if you don't have data. So first, you can use open source data sets like Kaggle or data.gov, and there's so many of them. These data sets can give you a quick access to large volumes of data that can help you to get your AI projects off the ground. For instance, you can get medical data anonymized and train your algorithm to understand the doctor's notes if you, for instance, want to train your model to summarize those notes. So this kind of data you can get very easily or pretty easily using open source data sets, like I mentioned, DataGov or Kaggle or any specific institutions. First, of course, is relevancy. You need to make sure that the data set has enough examples of data that is relevant to your specific case, but that's pretty obvious. And then there's also reliability, understanding how the data was collected and any bias it might contain. Because every data set, it's biased. It only depends on how much it's leaning toward left or right. And I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about like it's unbiased or biased. So we need to be very careful. And finally, the security and the privacy of the data set might be also evaluated. But most of the open source data, they have a pretty well documentation. So that's the first source. Second is you can build partnerships. For example, Twitter has an API, you can build partnership with them, Open Weather, but also other examples I want to share with you are like one of my projects I want to mention is a project where musicians get together with doctors and they want to prepare the music treatment to people that have a stroke or Alzheimer, or they experience Alzheimer or Parkinson. And they partner with whole, like global world, whole family of hospitals and get data from them. So that's a great example of partnership. You can partner with companies and get the good quality data from them too, or institutions. Another way is obviously a web scraping, extracting data from website using scraping techniques. And then you can leverage tools like Beautiful Soup or Scrapy, which are Python extension of our libraries, and scrape data from websites. You have to be very careful if you're scraping your data because you might scrape the confidential data. But I mentioned before what to do to make sure that's in place. If you put the quality data on your officer's agenda, they will make sure that the company will not be harmed by processing somebody's data without the permission. So subscribing is a good idea too. Proprietary databases, which is close to partnership, but sometimes you can get the database without getting the partnership. So, for instance, Twitter or other sources like that, you don't need to call them and have a meeting to get the databases. So this is something like that you can do. Sensor data. If your project involves IoT or other sensors, you can collect them through various scenarios. And companies like Arduino or Particle.io, those companies can send you a hardware with software and you can install sensors and start getting the data. So for instance, let's say you want to build a micro weather app for people skiing in Colorado. So you might buy your own sensors, put them on trees and start transferring data and predicting the weather. So that's a scenario we can use. And then user-generated content. Obviously, utilizing user-generated content from platforms like social media, online forums, or review websites, You can then APIs them or web scrap them and extract the data for training. For instance, an AI model that will predict a churn depends on product recommendations are shared with people online. So that kind of stuff, you can consider that kind of sources as your primary data source if you have no data or you want to improve your quality data. And now I want to quickly, maybe 5 minutes to spend with a very interesting case study I have found for you. Most of the case studies I'm presenting in this podcast are usually publicly available. The reason for that is because I think every case study can be designed or written from different angles, and it can be differently understood by people. So I think that if the case study is publicly available, you can actually get back to that and study that by yourself. So the case study I want to share today, it's coming from Deloitte.com, and it's the report delivered by Deloitte, which title is, let me check the title for you. It's called Fueling the AI Transformation, Four Key Actions Powering Widespread Value from AI Right Now. It's Deloitte's State of AI in the Enterprise, fifth edition report, dated October 2022. So that's the document I'm using right now, and there's a whole bunch of different information in it, pretty interesting read. I want to make sure that I will just talk about one case study. This is consumer case study based on multi-billion-dollar global food ingredients company needed to make better informed pricing decision. So the reason I pick up the ingredients company is because if we're talking about Google, Apple, the tech, natively tech companies, if we're talking about Google, Apple, or others like IBM that were created as a technology companies, I think they are a little bit different story when it comes to adopting AI and good quality data. But if we're talking about offline, let's call them companies that were not natively digital, like food ingredients, those guys have different challenges, that's for sure. That's why I pick up the company like that. And account managers were making quotes, we're talking about pricing, solely on gut feeling and personal experience without support from competitive information or analytics. So the company implemented an analytics pricing solution to generate price target at the customer and product levels and deliver quantitative insights that account managers use to communicate the value of their products and services to customers. The solution also enabled, quote, what if scenario planning to improve negotiations and products. The company's new pricing and promotion framework generated a 2% increases in annual revenue, end of the quote. So we can see how much data can change the bottom line. And I was talking about that at the beginning of this podcast about McKinsey report, how companies investing in AI and this kind of solutions, how much they can change in the bottom line. And here's the real example. So what happened when they actually improved the data quality and start using dashboarding and visualizations based on that? First of all, the company improved the customer experience by 45%. Through using voice assistant, chatbots, and conversational AI, together with personalization and customer feedback analysis. And this is a very cool thing. I want to focus on that a little bit because customer feedback analysis is the internal source of the data. If you have a customer feedback, that's your data, that's your proprietary data you own, and you can do with them whatever you want, as long as this is in the law frame and you are not obeying the law. And then based on that, you can bring personalization and then you can train your voice at chats and assistants to conduct the better quality conversations, which is directly connected to AI. So they also improve predictive maintenance, and that's strictly connected to changing the price. If you can see how much you are going to experience the break of manufacturing process, in this case, of food processing, things like that, you can predict things, which means that the quality of your delivery and supply chain increases, but you can also recalculate your pricing. So companies that focus on optimization problems, such as, for instance, spare parts management or fleet management, which is part of this company too, tend to underperform companies driving further investments in autonomous vehicles, the adoption of which drives larger organizational and operational change. In this retail sector, we observe that companies, that's a quote from Deloitte, focus on AI investments to drive top-line growth, such as AI-enabled promotion management to drive more sales. And this is the clue. Based on the good quality data, you can actually improve your online campaigns, and that influences the price that you need to pay for online campaigns. And then based on that, you can recalculate your pricing, make it more personalized, or even find a new portfolio of products. Like in this particular case, regrouping your portfolio fruit products and just like price them differently. So very interesting case I want to mention with the really substantial change for a company you can find in the Deloitte report. And that's it for today. So thank you so much for staying with me. If you like it, please subscribe and share it with others if you find it thoughtful. If you see a space for improvement, please drop a note. I want to learn from you. Thank you so much for staying with me. My name is Arek, and I'm conducting this weekly podcast to make sure that AI can be used in your business too. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.